Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
John 14, in verse 16, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." Now that word "another" in the original language, the Greek here, literally means another of the same kind. So Jesus said, let's go back again, verse 16. "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper." That's interesting right there, isn't it? That God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're one. But here yet Jesus says, "I'm going to pray to the Father. I'm going to talk to him about this. And he's going to give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." I'm going to give you another of the same kind. In other words, same kind as me. Someone who's just like me. I'm going to give to you, that he may abide with you forever. How many would like Jesus to be with you forever? I mean, you think about how he was through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know, how he was with his disciples. How would you like to have that with you today, in our day, in our time, in the natural, right here, have Jesus with you? Well, he said, "I'm going to send someone to you who's just like me, and he's going to stay with you forever. He's going to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." So Jesus is letting them know that when he goes to the cross and dies, but then is resurrected and returns to the Father and is seated at the right hand of the Father, that we're not going to be left alone. Verse 18, "I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." I am not going to leave you orphans. I'm going to come to you. And he's going to come to us how? In the person of the Holy Spirit, who is referred to here as the Spirit of truth. And Jesus here, towards the end of his earthly ministry, had a lot to say to us, first here to his disciples, about the Holy Spirit. The reason was because he was now, there was going to be a change of guard. And he was now going to be turning things over to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was now going to be in charge of the disciples. And then the church, made up of you and I, believers in the Lord Jesus. So he has a lot to say towards the end of his ministry. He's talking much about the Holy Spirit. And he says in verse 25, "These things I've spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit." Now, that word "helper" there, in talking about the Holy Spirit, can also be translated "comforter." It's this Greek word "parakletos," and it means helper, strengthener, advocate, the one who stands by you. In other words, he's our attorney. He's there to help us plead our case in life. So he's all these things to us, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So the things that I've taught you, he's going to come and he's going to remind you of things. He's going to bring things to your remembrance in a time when you need the things that I've told you. How many of you know it's very important to hear from God? Very important to hear from the Lord. And sometimes we're hearing things that we might not realize that we need to hear at the moment when we're hearing them. But suddenly, somewhere down the road in the future, we get into a situation. And we need answers. And suddenly, the Holy Spirit brings to our remembrance the thing that he taught us in the past, back in church, back when we were praying, back when we were in the Word of God, just downloading God's Word into our spirit. He brings it to our remembrance in that time when we need it. He causes it to come up and boom, we know what to do. We have our answer. We have the faith that we need to overcome that trial and that test. That's why it's so important to just continue to just download God's Word into you and receive revelation from God. And even though, you know, you might receive an abundance of revelation that, you know, you just feel like you can't even contain it all, it's all right. Just, it's going in. And it's given something for the Holy Spirit in the future to bring to your remembrance. And I'm telling you, if we'll listen, if we'll pay attention, that's why it's so important to assemble together and get under that anointing of the Holy Spirit who's teaching us today. He's the one. He's the revealer of truth. He's the one that gives ministers utterance, those that are looking to him, those that are leaning on him. He gives them the utterance. He gives them the words to speak. I believe he spoke to me on what to minister on this morning. And it's to minister on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We need to become very familiar with him, get very well acquainted with him, know how real he is, that he is here with us. And he is now just as real to you and I as Jesus was to his disciples. And he's just as much of a help to you and I as he was to the disciples. Jesus actually went on to say that it was better for him to go away. Come over here to chapter 16. John 16, verse 7. He said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." So Jesus is telling us, it's better that I go away. Now you would think, what could be better than having Jesus with us? How could that be better? He didn't even say it would be just as good. He said, it's going to even be better. Which means, according to Jesus' words, what we have today with the Holy Spirit is greater than what the disciples had with Jesus while they walked this earth. And you think about it, you know, I mean, if the disciples had a problem, I mean, there's Jesus, right? Lord, my back. I woke up this morning. I was rolling around last night, and that rock that I was using as a pillow. There's Jesus. They just walk over to him, and what's going to happen? Jesus is going to say, "Well, my son, that is your lot in life. That is my Father trying to teach you something. He's trying to afflict you to make you more pious. In life, make you a more spiritual person." Now, do you ever see Jesus talk that way? It's amazing how many humans talk that way, but about God. But Jesus does not, he never talked that way. If they went over to him and had a problem, what's he going to do? "Oh, come here." Bam. Knock that thing right out of there. Isn't that right? Peter's out there on the water. He's beginning to sink, and he says, "Lord, help!" Jesus said, "Your hour has come. I'm sorry. It is in the Father's best interest that you drown." You know, Jesus never talked that way. Did he do that with anybody? He didn't do that with anybody. Yes, it's amazing how people talk that way. But what did Jesus do? "Lord, help! Help." Everybody say help. H-E-L-P. Help. Help. And what did Jesus do? When Peter said, "Help," what did Jesus do? He helped, didn't he? Jesus was a helper in a time of trouble. And he was an adequate, sufficient helper. And he was there on the job, reached out, grabbed Peter, pulled him up, got him back up on the water. And I like that about Jesus. You know, he didn't just grab him, pick him up, and carry him back to the boat. He got him back up on the water and said, "Stand up, stand up." Got him standing again. And they walked back to the boat together. Pulled him up there, got him up there, and got him walking back on the water again. And they walked back to the boat again. The Holy Spirit is our helper. And it is actually better for us. It is to our advantage that Jesus went away. So that now the helper, he is with us 24/7. He is with us all the time in all the crises of life. Jesus as a man could only be in one place at one time. He had limitations in that way. But the Holy Spirit now, he abides, he lives on the inside of those who have put their trust in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And now the Holy Spirit is in them and he is their Lord. The Holy Spirit is our Lord here today. If Jesus is the Lord of your life. Because the Holy Spirit came as Jesus' successor and is now doing everything Jesus was doing when he was here on the earth. Except now he's able to do it to all of us. He's able to be with all of us. And so he is carrying on what Jesus began. And the Holy Spirit is our Lord. Now you don't hear a lot of people refer to the Holy Spirit as Lord. But notice over here in 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious?" And in its context, he's comparing the New Testament ministry that we have today to the Old Testament. Moses was the one that brought the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. He's the one that came with the commandments and established the law. And so here it's talking about Moses and how glorious his ministry was, how glorious was the Old Testament ministry, which was based on the commandments. But then he goes on in verse 8, he says, "How will the ministry of the Spirit," New Testament, "not be more glorious?" And notice, New Testament ministry is called the ministry of the Spirit. The ministry of the Spirit. And it's to be a glorious ministry. It's supposed to be, it's to far exceed, be better, be greater than the Old Testament ministry that Moses brought. He goes on, he says, "For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory." Now come on over here to verse 17. "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Notice again, "Now the Lord is" what? "The Spirit." The Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our Lord in this New Testament dispensation. The Holy Spirit, he's referred to as Lord. And then notice something Jesus said back here in Matthew 22. Matthew 22, we have to begin to see the Holy Spirit as our Lord. In verse 41, "While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, 'What do you think about the Christ?'" Because remember, they've been bombarding him with questions, question after question, trying to catch him in his speech. Trying to find some kind of flaw in him doctrinally. And so now he's going to throw a question at them. He says, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." Verse 43, he said to them, "How then does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.'" Now notice that. David had written this over in the Psalms. And here, Jesus is referring to that because the religious leaders were always saying that the Christ is the son of David, which is true. But then David, in the Holy Spirit, or by the help of the Holy Spirit, let me read this from the Amplified Bible. It says, saying, "What do you think of the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How is it then that David, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, calls him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. So here, David says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. The Lord said to my Lord. So here, the Lord, who's that? Who would that be? Well, that would be the Father. The Father was Jesus' Lord. Remember, Jesus throughout his earthly ministry would say, I do nothing of myself. It's whatever I see the Father do, that's what I do. Whatever I hear the Father say, that's what I say. Jesus was always following the direction of his Father, always acknowledging his Father. So that was his Lord, the Father. So the Father here was Jesus' Lord, and Jesus is Lord over David, who said, my Lord. Do you see that? The Lord said to my Lord. So the Father here is referred to Lord. Jesus, we know, is Lord. And the Holy Spirit now for the church is our Lord. In other words, he's the one that is leading us in life. He's the one that's to be guiding us in life. Aren't you glad you're not to be trying to figure things out all on your own? Aren't you glad you have a Lord here in this life right now? Jesus is our Lord, but he's gone to heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. But he's given us another Lord. He's given us someone else who will lead us and guide us in life, be a master to us, teach us, direct us in life. And we need to know him. We need to cling to him just like the disciples would. We need to see the reality of the person of the Holy Spirit in our life and recognize he will talk to us. We've got to start recognizing when he's talking to us. Here, David said some things by the influence or under the influence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was upon him and he spoke by the Spirit. That's how the whole Word of God has come to us. Holy men of God were moved by the Spirit of God to write. They didn't just figure these things out, think these things up, just have some ideas about things. They didn't just have an experience and then go over and write it down. Their very writing was under the influence or by the influence of the Holy Spirit. He was inspiring it. Has God, the Holy Spirit, ever inspired you to say something, to do something? Has the devil ever inspired you to say something? Well, you've repented for that, and that's already been removed and forgotten, so we'll move on from there. But how many of you know the devil can influence and inspire people, right? And it's amazing how well people can yield to him. People can really yield well to the unholy spirit of this world, the devil. In fact, you can become very skillful in yielding to either the spirit of this world, the devil, or the Holy Spirit. And so we want to become skillful at this. What could be greater? What could be greater than being good at being led by the Spirit of God, being directed by him? And you see people in the world, you know, just some are more devious. And I mean, they pick up on some inspiration from the devil that you think, how does anybody even think of that? And then they get to go make movies out of it. And they get an award for it, being the best led of the devil producer. And then there's actors that are really great at just yielding and playing the part that the enemy inspires them to do. This is real. And the world loves them. They're their heroes. Well, how about over here in the church? Who's our heroes? It ought to be those that know how to flow and yield to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We want to get around people and esteem people among us that know how to flow and yield with the Holy Spirit, because when he speaks, it's life to us. It'll transform our lives. It'll empower us and strengthen us in life, put us over in life, drive out the darkness in our life. We need inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We need to receive it from others. We need to recognize when God's talking through people. We need to recognize the Spirit of God's upon somebody, and they didn't just say something of their own self, but it's the Spirit of God speaking to us through them. We want to get good at recognizing that so that we don't miss it. We don't miss it when he's talking to us. We recognize his leading, his guiding. And the way, one of the ways we help build up our sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, our awareness of him, is through the Word of God. Getting to know the Word of God, the written Word of God. Because he will never, the Holy Spirit will never lead us in life contrary to the Bible. He'll never lead us contrary to the Scriptures. And so as we get to know the written Word of God, then the Holy Spirit can come and cause God's Word to be alive in us. Like we said, he's the one that will bring it to our remembrance. He's the one that will cause it to work for us in life. And this is where a lot of folks have missed it. You know, they've got the letter. They've got the Scriptures, a lot like the Pharisees did. There's a lot of folks in the church world today that they just have letters. They just have Bible principles. They have Bible principles. They know the Scriptures, but they don't know him. They don't know God. And it's just letters to them. And because they don't know the Holy Spirit, they don't know how to yield to him. They don't know how to flow with him, yield to his inspiration. They just step out on letters, and it just becomes man's efforts. Man taking the Scriptures and just doing his best. Just doing his best, you know. Learn the Bible and just be the, you know, the Bible is to help you be the best person you can be. The Bible is to help us be better people. No, it's not. The Bible is not here to help us to be better people. The Bible is given to us so we can yield to someone better than us. So we can yield to the Holy Spirit and to let God have the right or way through our life and do miracles, do mighty things, life-transforming things. And one inspired word of God can change a person's life forever. Come on. Hallelujah. So we're not just trying to be better. I'm trying to apply the principles of God's word to my life. No, I'm recognizing how God works, how God thinks, how God expects things to be, so that I can yield to the Holy Spirit when he comes to lead me that way, when he comes to inspire me to do those things, so that now I'm not just doing those things, but he's doing those things through me. It becomes a team effort. We're not going solo in life. God's working in us. Come on. We got a partner in life. We got the Holy Spirit. We're not to be out here trying to figure everything out on our own. You know, it's amazing how many times, and we've gotten really a lot quicker at it now, you know, over time. We've learned our lesson, you know, but there's times where you can't find something or something's not working. And then, you know, you're just doing everything you can in your strength, trying to remember, where did I put the keys? I remember one time when I was still going to Bible school out in Oklahoma. I remember, you know, I was running late, and all of a sudden I'm ready to finally run out the door, and I can't find the keys. I can't find the keys. I am running around trying to find my keys. It's getting later and later. I got so desperate, I thought, my God, I'll just walk to school. So I just left in desperation, you know, and I just start walking across this parking lot of the apartment complex where I lived at the time, and I'm just walking, and finally I ask the question. Holy Spirit, you know where the keys are. Where are they? As I'm walking, I no sooner said, where are they? And I put my hands on my hip. And they were hanging off my belt. And I ran back to the, got in the car. And I mean, some of the most simplest things in life can be so difficult when we're doing it in our own strength. But soon as I acknowledged him, because I'm one with him, he abides in me. He abides in you. He lives in us. And a lot of times, it'll just feel like it's you. It's your thought. It's just, well, you knew that, or you just did that. But it's him. It's him rising up in you. Him inspiring. I mean, there I was. I just asked him the question, and my arm went to my hip. My arm just went to my hip. There's the keys. He showed it to me. And there's been a lot of times since I have found my keys through the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy. He is our help. Is there anything too small for him to help us with? There's nothing too small. And we know there's nothing too big. Nothing's too big for him to help us with. So we got to get in the habit of acknowledging him, going to him, looking to him for help. Looking to him for help. Now, he is the helper. He's not the do it for you. He's not the great do it for you. He's the helper. Now, we need to understand that. Because then a lot of folks, they get over to the other extreme. They say, Holy Spirit, just do it. Just make it all happen. And nothing happens. Or a lot of times folks ask for his help, but they're not doing anything. They're not doing anything. They're just saying, oh, Lord, help me. In other words, just do it. Fix it. Change it. And a lot of times, nothing happens because he doesn't do things for us as much as he does things through us. He wants to work through you. So you have to, therefore, apply yourself. You got to step out by faith. When you ask him for your help, when you ask him to show you something, don't just say, Lord, I don't understand. I don't understand why this is happening. I just don't understand why. Lord, help me understand. Pastor said that you said that you would show me and give me understanding of these, and I just don't understand anything. And then, you know, a little while later when you finally calm down, all of a sudden, you know, you walk past the Bible. And you walk past it. Now give me understanding, show me, teach me. You are my teacher. Why am I in such confusion? I need you to show me. It's Sunday. It's almost 10:45. Be a good time to get dressed, go to church. I don't know why he's not showing me anything. See, if you really believe he's going to show you, then put yourself in a position for him to work with him. And he will work with you. We're working together. Right? So, I mean, I just had a thing recently where I was praying and I needed some help in my faith. I needed him to really speak to me and strengthen me. So I was asking for that, you know, Lord, you know, that special word, that something helped me, strengthen me in my faith in this area. And I just did what I knew to do. I prayed and things like that and in the Holy Spirit and, you know, just doing what I knew to do in the natural. And then finally, you know, the day came. I really needed to hear from God. I really needed an extra boost in my faith here. And I took out the Bible. I said, well, Lord, I've asked you to show me things. And I just thank you for your word right here. And I'm just going to start right here. And I just thank you that through your word, you know, you show me things that I need to know. And I mean, I just flipped it open. And it opened up to a scripture that immediately began to speak to my situation. Just immediately began. And as soon as it began, faith began to come and fill my heart. I immediately began to see things and understand things. And suddenly I just rose up like a giant on the inside over the situation and was able to handle it, was able to deal with it. But I just, you know, I didn't just sit there and walk around going, God, show me, God, show me, and then just do whatever. I said, show me, and I sat down with him in his word for him to show me. I put myself in a position for him to speak to me. So he's our helper. He works with us. But we have to apply ourselves. It is a partnership. You see that with Jesus as well. Jesus didn't just do things for people. You know, anybody that got healed or delivered under Jesus' ministry, those people came to Jesus. There were people that did some extreme things to get into Jesus' presence, for him to be able to heal them. Are you hearing me? There were people that did some extreme things. There was some real radical believing, some real faith works that enable them to be able to receive from Jesus' ministry. The woman with the issue of blood, we see over in one place, Mark chapter 5. When she heard about Jesus, she heard there was a healer in town. She didn't just sit there and say, I wish he would come by here and heal me. I mean, she believed who he was. She believed in what he can do. And so she did something. She got up and went to him. She went to him, and that wasn't easy. She was hurting. She was in pain. But she pressed through a crowd of people to get to him, for she said, if I could only touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. She had such faith that she did something. She went to him. She got to him. She touched him. And what? That power that was in him touched her. They made a connection. We need to make a connection with the Holy Spirit. A lot of folks got their plug out. And they're saying, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping me. Help me, Holy Spirit. Well, make the connection. Acknowledging him, of course, is number one. But spending that time, putting yourself in a position to be able to recognize what he's saying, what he's doing, is so important. He is our Lord here in this life right now. Can you say amen? Say, the Holy Spirit, he is my Lord. Yeah, it's a little different, isn't it? You know, people usually don't say that. But the Holy Spirit, he is our Lord. And again, Jesus, towards the end of his ministry, was talking much about the Holy Spirit. And then you come on over into the book of Acts. Of course, Jesus, right after he rose from the dead, he appears to his disciples. And who do you think he's talking about? He's going to talk to them about the Holy Spirit. First thing he did was he appeared to them. They were all assembled in that room together, and he breathed on them. He just rose from the dead. Now in the morning, he appeared to Mary, and then the rest of the disciples were gathered together for fear of the Jews, you know, in that room. They were hiding out. And then Jesus comes in. Suddenly, Jesus is in the room. And he says, peace to you. And then he says this. He says, receive the Holy Spirit. And he breathes on them. And at that moment, they receive the Holy Spirit, and they are born again. Born again. Holy Spirit comes to abide on the inside. First thing Jesus did to them, when he appeared in that room after rising from the dead, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And then he's coming and going among them for about 40 days before he finally goes up and takes his place in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. And here on that 40th day, right before he ascends into heaven, he's given some final words to his disciples. And he says in verse 5, he says, for John, Acts chapter 1, verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now notice that. 40 days previous, he breathed on them after he rose from the dead. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God came into them like a breath of fresh air. New life came into them. And at that moment, that's when they were born again. Has anybody in here been born again? Have you opened your heart, believed on the Lord Jesus, that he paid for all your crimes against God? He took all your sins upon himself. And that through him, you are righteous in the sight of God. Through him, you are clean and you are holy in the sight of God. Amen. When you did that, what happened? The Holy Spirit was able to come and live inside you and be to you what he was to be in the very beginning to man, to Adam, in the very beginning. You remember in the very beginning, after God formed man from the earth, what did he do? The Bible says he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Man at that moment, Adam, was born of God. He had the Holy Spirit breathed into him. He was one spirit with God. But sin separated him from God. He lost that breath of life. All mankind now has been operating without that. We've had a wrong spirit operating in us. Jesus comes, pays for our crimes, washes us clean, makes us holy, and then breathes. and we receive the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Just like he breathed on his disciples, he has breathed on you and I when we called upon him to be our Savior, to be our Lord. And the Holy Spirit has come to live on the inside of us ever since. So he says, receive the Holy Spirit. They obviously received the Holy Spirit at that moment. But now 40 days later, he says, you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And that word baptized means to be submerged. You're going to be submerged in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, throughout the word, one of the things that he's likened to is water. There's a lot of similarities with water and the Holy Spirit. Of course, without water, there's no life in the natural, right? You have to have water to live. You need to have the Holy Spirit if you're going to live spiritually. If you're going to be alive spiritually, alive unto God, you need the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit, like water, like this water here, can be drank. And I needed that. And we receive water through drinking. Isn't that right? But how many people know you can go to a lake? And that also is a body of water, right? And you jump in that water. You are submerged in that water. How many of you know that's a different kind of water than drinking water? In fact, I was just told by the lifeguard yesterday at Lake, wherever we went, that we went on this camping trip with the children. You know, he said, now you don't want to drink this water. And he gave us some reasons why. And they were very good reasons. That's why we tell people, don't drink this water. You can't help it. You jump around in water long enough, some of it goes in your mouth. You think, thank you, Jesus. If I drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt me. But that's a different kind. You know, it's water, but it's a different kind of experience, isn't it, than drinking water. We need to drink water, but oh, thank God, there's water we can jump in, especially on a hot day. There's water we can bathe in. There's water we can shower in. We can be submerged in. We need that also. We need that experience of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of folks, they have believed on Jesus. They've been born again, and they have drank the water of life and have been born again, but they have never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And here, the disciples who had received the Holy Spirit in them were now being told by Jesus, you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You're going to be baptized in Him. Baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So he's talking about the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, he says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. You shall receive power. So this baptism of the Holy Spirit is a baptism in the power of God, where we are witnesses for Jesus. In other words, we are living proof that Jesus is alive. And that's what separates us from Buddhists, Muslims, and every other thing out there. Every other kind of religion out there. They don't have any power backing them up. All they want to do is reason with you. They'll reason with you out of the Quran. And they'll say, well, you know, we believe this and we believe that. But man, you and I don't have to get into debating. You and I have the Holy Spirit. It isn't an intellectual thing. This Christian life, being a Christian, is not an intellectual thing. Come on. It's an experience. It's a walk with the living God. It's being in partnership with the living God. And we got to learn how to bring him on the scene. A lot of folks are afraid to get out there and be a witness, share their faith, because they just see themselves out there doing it. Well, I don't know very much. They might ask me some tough questions. I don't know. What would I say? I'm not sure if I'd know what to say. Do you have the Holy Spirit? Is he in you? Well, then he'll give you what to say. See, a lot of folks aren't going out sharing their faith because they just see themselves out there trying to share their intellect, sharing their knowledge of the Bible. They're afraid if they get asked a tough question, they're going to go, oh, I don't know. I've had people say to me, oh, Pastor, I wish you were there, because you really could have helped. Friend, there's someone else there a whole lot better than me. And any help that I can give you, it's from him anyway, and he's in you. See, you got to step out by faith. And know that when you open your mouth, he's going to fill it. Especially when it comes to sharing the gospel with somebody. Come on. He's going to fill it. And if he don't fill it, then shut up. Because there's been times, you know, I think, well, praise God, I'm going to tell this help this person out. I step out there and I start going, don't got anything. But I put myself in a position. I'm saying a few things. Hey, well, so praise the Lord. You know, asking him some questions or whatever. And I'm waiting for a flow here. No flow. See, they're not ready. They're not ready. And he'll lead you that way. Sometimes just being quiet is good. Then you find out later that somehow in your meeting with them, they got convicted and God did something with them and helped draw them just by you being quiet. But you see, he's there. We're not doing this thing. I got news for you. You can't save anybody. You're not going to save anybody. It's the Holy Spirit. He's telling his disciples, he's telling them, now wait here in Jerusalem till you receive power from on high. Don't you go out there and start telling everybody what you know until you receive the power of the Holy Spirit to do this thing. Go out there in his power and in his might. Let his wisdom guide you. Let him give you the utterance. And I'm telling you, it'll refresh you and bless you so much, you'll be amazed. You get out there, and some of you know what I'm talking about. You get out there, and you just start sharing with somebody. You're putting yourself in a position. You believe the Holy Spirit's there to help you. And next thing you know, you start getting all kinds of utterance. He starts giving you all kinds of things. And next thing you know, things are coming to your remembrance, left and right in the Scriptures. That's what freaked my family out. Because I didn't have a very good memory, you know. And I had a little cafe back in New York, you know. And before I was saved, I was working. It was through that place. I had an employee that ended up leading me to the Lord. But I was working there. And, I mean, I was forgetting stuff regularly, you know. And there were times I would take a tray of bacon, put it on a tray. You know, take all the bacon, boar's head, real nice, expensive bacon. Put that in the oven. And then wouldn't set a timer because it cooked so fast in this, you know, this commercial oven, and I thought, well, you know, it's just going to be a few minutes. I'm going to just come over here and do this. And next thing I know, something that's supposed to cook in 5 minutes, 15 minutes goes by, and black smoke's pouring out of the... Change it, throw it in the garbage, new tray. 15 minutes later, black smoke's coming out of the... So I started actually confessing. I think I'm going senile. I think I'm losing my mind. You know, I'm losing my memory. I don't have a very good memory. But then when I got saved, received the Holy Spirit. Next thing you know, when it came to sharing the gospel with people, I mean, Scripture would start coming. I heard taught on the radio, or I read in the Bible, or I'd heard it at church. And next thing you know, I mean, I'm saying stuff. Scriptures are coming. Well, you know, the Bible says. In fact, it's right over here. Just Scripture's coming. All by the Holy Spirit. And I remember my family just kind of looking like, huh? My one brother just kind of marveled. Just, how do you know that? I remember he asked me a question one time. He thought he was going to be cute. Thought he was going to trip me a little bit, you know. Said something, I don't remember it. It was about Saul being Paul, you know, or something. He said something about that, and I didn't know the answer. But I didn't act like I didn't know the answer. I leaned back inside me. And I went, Well, bam! And then I got the answer, and he went, oh. He was saved shortly after that. Hallelujah. Come on, you got help. Be bold as a lion. Rise up and know the greater one is in you to assist you and to accomplish the work with you and through you. Just yield yourself. Trust him. Know that he's there. Amen. Believe in your partner. The disciples, the 12, they don't have anything over you and I today. Nothing. They didn't have any advantage. We have the advantage. I said, we've got the advantage today because we got the Holy Spirit with us everywhere we go. Can you say amen? Come on, let's stand on our feet this morning. Thank God for our helper.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org, and you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.